Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live September 23rd, 2024 at 8 a.m. Pacific, about 11 a.m. on the East Coast. I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to turn on the radio and check out 1-2 Radio. I hope you had a great weekend. Were we just here like yesterday on the radio talking? I can't remember. It seems like it was because I guess I have to do that thing where time is just moving and I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but time is moving. We're all moving. It's good. Please join us. I'm so excited to have you today. You can find us over at the 1-2radio.com. Look for the chat link in that left-hand column. I'm checking out my settings. They updated the firmware on my modem, on my mixer. And so I have to check these volume settings so I don't blare you out. But come on over, look for the chat link. You'll be catapulted over onto the Facebook page. And I'm actually doing that with you as we speak. So Jay has put up the banner. If you see it and then you come down, you see the banner, you hit comments, and then you change comments to, thank you, Facebook, you change comments to, from most relevant to all comments, and you'll see Lynn Goldberg. Hi, Lynn, how you doing? Happy, joyous Monday, Mark and 1-2 family. Hey, Penny, thanks for being here. Good morning. Jennifer Lakshmi's in the house. Jennifer's an advisor at 1-2. Love having you in the room, Jennifer, a great astrologer. Man, and you've got a hot YouTube channel happening over there. Thank you for all you do, Jennifer. Good morning, Mark, Jane, everyone. Happy fall. Happy Libra season. Reading the message. Tiffany, how have you been? I'm back for the day, and for the first time in months, I've been working full-time. But I have COVID, so I'm home. So great to be able to see and hear everyone again. Welcome, Tiffany. How you doing? I'm glad. Well, I'm sorry that you're not well. But I'll take any excuse to have you in the house. Good to have you here. Terry Campbell's in the house. Terry's also an advisor at 1-2. Dear friend, Gemini. Happy Monday, Mark, Keith, and all the gang. Keith, she said, Keith, we'll be talking about him in a minute. I can't wait to introduce Keith to so many of you. I'll tell you all that when he gets here, but here we go. Nadine, just returning from a magical journey to Alaska. Oh my gosh, she saw it. Look at that, Aurora Borealis. Girl, you take some pictures. I love that stuff. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Welcome back. I hope Alaska enjoyed you, and vice versa. Renee, happy autumn. Happy grand rising, Mark and 1-2 family from Quelly. Thanks for being here, you guys. I'll check in on that chat room periodically, see how you're doing. It's a Gemini moon. You know, I hate those because I have, well, no, I love those because I have trouble thinking of things to say when I do my show. I just get tongue-tied. You know me, I'll have minutes of silence when I'm on the air with you. What the hell? It's crazy. Gemini moon's going to help me today. There is so much going on, you guys, this week. Yes, I do have a special guest. So I'm going to reserve Keith for the last 20 minutes of the show or so. And so much to say about that. But really, let's take a minute here and look at what's happening in the sky. And again, if you're new to the show, go over to 1-2radio.com. Look on the left-hand side, find that link. And when you see it, you will have gotcha. I got my own text messaging. I heard Jay today was getting text messaging. It's like, wow. So here we go. I go to the chat link. And once you're ready, click chat, come on over, take a look at the room. You don't have to say anything, just come join us, it's kind of fun. So, like I mentioned, today's a Gemini moon, and what's happening, the moon moves really fast. We just had autumn, now you understand the definition of autumn. Okay, let's go over that real quickly. The autumnal equinox, anytime you hear the word equinox, you're going to have equal day, equal night. So, the autumnal equinox is the one that's sort of taking us out of summer and autumn. And it's also the minute equinox hits the mid. They tell you that time when it is the autumnal equinox or it's the first day of fall. It's also literally, and not just almost, literally for the Western astrologers, the first day of Libra because we're tropical zodiac. We go by the seasons. Now, what that means is that we left Virgo. And what that means, if you didn't say happy birthday to a Virgo friend of yours, next year or your next birthday, man. You know, I'm not saying they're vengeful or anything. They're not. They actually typically prefer you forget their birthdays. You know, we love our Virgos. So that's one thing. Second thing is, it's Libra time. So if you have a Libra friend, this is their cycle that they come in. Libras kind of get the best of, I mean, think about Aries and Libra on the axis. Aries is the first day of spring, right? Libra is the first day of autumn. They both get the equinoxes. What do you think about that? Libra gets the scales, the balance. Aries gets equinox. What's Cancer get? The longest day in the world? It does. And Capricorn gets the longest night. I mean, if you want to use metaphors, I think those are kind of appropriate. But Libra equal, but we're after the first day, after that minute of the solstice, the nights get longer. They start dragging out on 1 minute every day. You can time it. You know that thing you used to say, there was a rumor, and this is a rumor, because I had the owner of Nest Eggs on my show, and I said, so on the equinox, we can balance an egg? She said, Mark, if you can balance an egg on the equinox, you can balance an egg anytime you want. It's a rumor. It's sort of like a trope. You can balance an egg, you got to work on it, but it's no easier to balance on the equinox than it is any time of the year, is the point. So you test that theory out for yourself. I hope I'm not breaking any hearts. But as we go into autumn, and as night gets, you know, when I talk about the, you go from a full moon to a new moon, well, we're losing light daily as that moon, and the moon is emulating that every time it leaves a full moon, every time it leaves a full moon cycle, which it just did. We just had a big full moon eclipse. It's starting darker for 2 weeks. Well, in a larger macro sense, after you have the equinox, we start losing light for, let's see, all the way down to winter, so 3 months, okay? And then at the longest night of the year, on the winter solstice, we start gaining our light again. I know you all probably know this. It's just fun to think about it as a metaphor, because you know the planets aren't doing anything to you, but we use the world around us to sort of bring us information that helps us have fun living. Okay, I have a funny answer to tell you about AI, but I'm going to wait for Keith to talk to you about it because it was kind of funny. It reminds me of taking the joy out of it. So in astrology, if there's planets moving, they're kind of moving as a reflection of what you're doing. So if we see these, I was talking to you last week about four of the largest planets, the outer planets are all changing signs. For the first time in what I could recollect to be a really, really, really insanely long time, I haven't even found the last time that happened. So Pluto is leaving Capricorn going into Aquarius, Uranus is leaving Taurus and going into Gemini. Neptune is leaving Pisces and going into Aries, and Saturn will be leaving Pisces and going into Aries as well. Four outer planets changing signs next year. Now, everyone's like, it's a harbinger of death and destruction and war and all that. It isn't any of that. It's a statement on how you are going to be looking at life differently. It's sort of like the cocoon you've been in probably since just before COVID. That sort of, you know, that period where it was like, this can't be happening, or whatever it is your reality was, like, this changed everything. You know, we use the word light a lot, but the consciousness globally changed. And we're part of it. You know, John and I enjoy doing the New York Times cover puzzles, but because I subscribe, we go back to 2010, right? We're doing a cross, and let me tell you something. And we only do Monday because most told us Mondays were the easy ones. And we're not the brightest fish in the sea, but we also don't work that hard. It's like, let's see what we can do. Is we can get one done in 20 minutes. That's great for us, the ones, right? Monday, you have to do Monday only because the ones are just too hard. I don't care about the island off the coast of some place I never heard of. But anyway. 2010 doesn't sound like that long ago for me. It's in the 2000s. I remember the 90s, 80s, right? So 2010 doesn't seem that long ago. 10 years after 9/11, blah, blah, blah. And let me tell you, those clues sound like a foreign language. It's crazy. It is crazy how you can see development and how quick the change occurred. 14 years? So I'm just saying, try it sometime. Go back in time just a little. You know, like even some of the shows that we watch that are... Oh, no. He said, I have something weird going with my sound. Okay. I don't know. You guys let me know in the room if I'm having weird sound issues. This could be our weird sound day. You all let me know if it sounds weird or if it's something on there. And let's see. Weird audio going and coming. Jeez. Oh, wheeze. Okay. Let's see what that is. Okay. You know, that was something happening earlier today. I wonder if it could be one through radio, but... Sorry about that, you guys. This is going to be one of those days where, you know, of course I have a guest and everything's going to be like a little puppy. But, you know, we'll do it again. We'll get to it. Just relax. I'm looking to see if there's anything weird on my settings that I can change, but it might be a futile effort. Audio, let's see here. Okay. All right. I don't know. I'll do my best, you guys. This is funny. Hey, everybody. I'm back. Thank you so much. Jay saved the day. We're going to continue the show. I will have this fixed next week, but it was meant to be. We were like really trying to get this sound good, and we did, and everything was great. And I got up this morning and my mixer didn't work.
So how the heck are you? All right, listen. So Gemini Moon, these planets, what I was talking about is today's Gemini Moon. And I wanted you to be aware, like I said last week, that Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, Saturn, all changing signs next year. It's a first for eons. And I'll have to get you times when that's happened before where all of them sort of, because it has to be at least 100 some years before all of these planets actually made it around to where they're changing to 0 degrees of another sign. And because that's happening, it's sort of telling us that there is a shift that's occurring also in our consciousness. And so you're going to be different. And I was telling you about what that probably, I don't know if you heard it or not, or you got to hear it, but I was talking about the effects when we go back to 2010 and listen and do those crossword puzzles. It's like a foreign language because things quickened so much or changed so deeply. And that's kind of how it works. And so so one of the things we want to do during this cycle is pay attention because we are coming in from a full moon eclipse to a new moon eclipse. So next week is the last eclipse of the year. Okay. And I think I don't know how much you got to hear of me, but I was talking about when you're leaving a full moon to a new moon, the moon starts shedding light, a reflection, right, of you, of us. We feel a little like we're releasing from full the new moon. And if it doesn't feel that way, it's kind of fun if you pretend it feels that way. If you do things that are more release oriented, releasing guilt, releasing worries, releasing things that sort of bug you. And it's not that's the only time to do that, or it's not that you have to do that, or it's not that you'll automatically do it. What we're trying to do is get us in the flow, the current that we notice, and to flow with the current, not against it. And with the current will mean flowing with the light of the moon is a good example. Now, the planets, the seasons do a similar thing. When we get to the autumnal equinox, equal day, equal night, we actually start losing light, right? Again, like a new moon. And this is going to go until the winter solstice on the 22nd. And so we're shedding, our consciousness is letting go of some of this summer energy. And I did make a joke, and maybe only funny to me, the metaphor of Aries and Libra get the equal day and equal night. Yeah, that, okay, good. Libra in the scales and Aries, like, you need some balance, right? And Cancer is the longest day of the year, excuse me, yes. And Capricorn is the darkest. Yeah, I guess that metaphor works, right? And so as we shed this light a minute a day, and I notice it when I take the dogs out in the morning, it's darker and darker and darker. And I love that because, you know, who wants to say hi to people? And I have my bear spray, so we're safe. And so we're also releasing, we're kind of going internal. Now, if you're not going internal, if you're the kind of person, this is your Libra birthdays and Scorpio birthdays and all that, if you're the kind of person that comes out a little bit during the autumn months, you kind of feel, and toward winter, you come out a little bit, that's okay. You can also, though, use it as a time to do proper shedding. Shedding of, like, again, the goal for me, shedding of worry, shedding of old belief systems. What's the problem with that? Why can't we think about shedding things that you see? I watch so many people lock into a thought, right? It's, I do it with the void, of course, moon. It's like I changed the Mercury retrograde for myself, made it like one of the most incredible times. I look forward to it now. But the void, of course, is hard for me, and I try. So some things we just accept. We're not going to shift that energy. I'm just going to believe that. And they're tough, or for me, or they're different for me, or I don't want to do any important things under them. But that's just a belief. It's a tougher one for me to change. You might have some of those yourself that are tougher for you to change. But you know what makes a difference? Knowing that you know it's a tougher thing for you to change, right? Knowing that you know it. Not just going, I'm not changing it because now I got to commit to it. And then confirmation bias, right? Everything from then on that you will use in your life will validate that belief. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay. It really is, because it is what it is. But if you are aware you're holding that belief. It's kind of fun to see how you confirmation bias it. You see it everywhere, you prove it, and then you can kind of chuckle because you're no longer the victim of it. You're playing with it a little bit. Yeah, I can't get rid of that thought, and look how it always confirms what I think is probably not true, but I believe it's true. Like I could go buy something under a void of course moon and probably enjoy the hell out of it, but that item, I probably wouldn't notice deliberately it was a void of course moon because I have to confirm my bias by making sure it breaks, whatever it is, it breaks. So if I got something really good, I'm probably going to ignore that it was a void of course, right? See, things like that. Those are the things that we can kind of play with as we leave the summer, as we leave the last of summer. Virgo is the last of summer. We enter the Libra cycle, the autumnal cycle, and we start drifting slowly. Time is really kind that way, right? The day for night day. Just 1 minute, 1 minute is the night's a little longer, right? Until, okay, God, I didn't even realize it was dark at 4 p.m., right? That kind of thing. All right. I'm excited to bring my guest in. I want to talk to you about him. I actually had everything ready. I'm going to bring Keith back because we'll do a show. This will be our sort of like play run-up show, but we're going to do another one where I have my mixer working and all the recordings I wanted. I even downloaded his audio on One2Listen. I've known this guy since he was a kid. Okay. And I'm going to talk to him about this story. I'm not going to do a full intro because I'm going to introduce him while he's here with us and he can help me with the introductions. But I'm very excited about having Keith on the show because I think you need to know him. I think people who get to know Keith, actually, it's hard not to fall in love with him. And you're going to see why, but you're going to get to see two crabs playing. He's a Cancer. He has a Sagittarius moon and a Libra rising. So I'm going to ask Jay, help us get Keith on. And Keith, tell me when you're on.
Hi. I don't know. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is your first time on the show at this time slot anyway, right?
Yeah, I think if we go back in the calendar a decade or so, we might find my last guest spot at another time and place. But yeah, this is the first in a very long time.
I think I had you at Hay House.
I think
you,
so.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Keith Rubeck. He has been a part of One2Listen almost since its original inception. I'm going to have him talk a little bit about that. I had some fun, Keith. Keith is one of those people. He's kind of like a living AI. You'll see. But he has some really powerful ideas, and he has some training under his belt that I think you'll be impressed by. We're gonna find out. But Keith, I went to AI last night and I asked some questions. I said I have a young psychic coming on my show, and I want to get some questions. Listen to what Claude AI said.
Okay.
He said, wait a minute. Okay, I didn't print what he first said, but what he said was, I'm uncomfortable giving you some, yeah, he said, wait a minute, I can get it. He said, I'm uncomfortable helping you with questions for a psychic because psychic phenomenon is not scientifically verifiable, and I feel like you might be perpetuating something that could be harmful. And I said, listen, how can then I be respectful of this person if I can't ask? I literally said that. And he answered, I understand you're trying to be respectful of your guest's profession. And while I can't endorse or promote claims of psychic abilities, I can suggest some thoughtful questions to explore with your guest's experience. Would that be okay? Little shit. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's good. And then we went on a little further and I said, now I need some funny things. So I got a few questions for you. But before we do that, I wanted to chuckle at the fact that Claude is denying our scientific relevance anyway. And I want to know from you, like, this is where we start. Keith, I know you study your butt off. How many books do you think you've read? Like, this is the first real quiz question. How many books are in the field of psychic phenomena, spirituality, that whole metaphysical thing? How many books are under your belt?
Cover to cover, probably you're looking at right around the, I mean, at this point, somewhere between 100 and 200 books.
Okay. And you read every word, right? You're not like just skimming through, going to chapters. You like, you read and understand these people, in my personal opinion, right? I mean, from what I've seen.
Well, unless it's like a reference book, I have a lot of like books that are just thick because you're there. They're there to be like, you know, you go to them and you need a certain, you know, definition or a certain reference. But in general, yeah, I spend far too much money on books not to actually read them.
I love it. Okay. So, and I've known that about you. And you know what else about Keith? He has this like inability to notice somebody's age. So if he likes the author of a book, no matter how old or young they are, he seeks them out. And you have quite a few people you talk to. In fact, I want to get a little of your history with some, you know, you've had, I know the guy who wrote Conversations with God, and I know, like, you know, you met him, you've met, there's a James, what's James Les' last name? I remember.
James Twyman, the peace troubadour.
Yes, exactly. And so you know all these people and you've had experiences with them. So from a very young age, if you could capsulize some, just sort of like capsulize the, and I guess here's how Claude would word it. How would you describe your experiences to someone unfamiliar with what you do? That's a Claude question. So you're talking to an audience. Yeah. Yeah, what is the summary of sort of like how we got here for you a little bit? Can you do that?
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with just keeping an open mind. And I don't mean so open that, you know, stuff falls out, but it's almost like what Jesus would say, like, you know, approaching the world through the like the eyes of a child, meaning, you know, you're open to experiences. You're open to things that you thought you knew before not being what you will know, you know, once you've actually experienced X or Y. And it's really about not having expectations. And it's really hard to do because, like, what do we do if there isn't like a certain something waiting for us at the end? And rather than like define what you want to find, it's more just like the joy of looking for it.
And what do you think made it possible for you to even hold that concept or do those things as a child? Was your family life unusual or serious?
I had a religious upbringing, and you know, the more traditional Catholic thing, and so I've always had a pretty positive idea that there's something greater than us, and you know, because I was raised in the Catholic fashion, that must be the greater something. And then you get older, you become a teen, you rebel a little bit, you learn, and you realize like this isn't totally congruent with like what I think is true. But I never let go of the idea that there is a higher force, a higher power. Like, so that was never lost on me. But the specifics, I decided around 14, 15, I might need to rehash the specifics and look elsewhere. And that keeps me going every day.
Yeah, and you were allowed to as a child? You were allowed to do that?
Yes and no.
You got yes a little pushback?
No. Well, I hid a lot of it. Near the end of my more traditional Baptist Catholic upbringing, I found myself very enthralled with the Book of Revelation, with the concept of prophets and spiritual gifts. And so I read a lot of the Left Behind series, people familiar with like Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. You know, I mean, I think everyone remembers the late 90s, I mean, leading up to the Y2K phenomena. That was like, you know, many people thought that was the end. And that was a big reason those books were popular, and the whole concept of Revelation and all that. And then I went from learning about that deeply esoteric, symbolic book to kind of leapfrogging from that to more general metaphysics and general spirituality.
Nice. And I know, like, so at what point did it become, I can actually help people with what I'm learning? Was that just a natural outflow, or was there a moment where you're like, I can really help here? What caused that? Why do this? Weren't you supposed to be a doctor, a lawyer or something? I mean,
that's what my mom will say. That's what my family will say for sure. I had weird, I don't want to be vulgar here, but I just had weird crap happen to me growing up as a kid. I would I feel like I can say this to you guys because I feel like people listening will get this. But you know, I hear voices, and they didn't say weird things. They would just this particular voice I'm referring to would just say my name, just hear my name a couple of times. And you know, you have dreams, and it's like, well, didn't that just happen? I just dreamt that. It was little things that made you realize like there's something up, there's something going on, and the mystery of like understanding like what exactly is happening here, because it's not nothing. It's definitely something. And you know, that is what makes me leapfrog from book to book and teacher to teacher, because it's like clearly there's something going on here. And I'm curious. I'd like to know more about what that something is.
And it seems like curiosity is definitely one of the things that drives you. Just knowing you, it's been something that you don't stop. And some of the feedback, and I want people to know this, so just a little maybe embarrassing for you, maybe not. So I did watch Keith's sort of hormonal development. I mean, I got to see him no hair kid to bearded kid. I mean, it's been a lot of years, Keith. I got to see you be a legal adult. Like, so that's how long Keith has been around. So I want people to understand the context of it. We talk pretty formally, but Keith has been a part of the 1-2. His imprint is in the 1-2. He's like Kat. Those two sort of like symbolized an opening moment that sort of like started catalyzing, and they know each other and are very fond of each other. So hi Kat, if you're listening, she's in the chat. So
hi,
she's
Kat.
On after us. Yeah. So we'll have a trilogy sometime here. So but what I notice is when Keith takes his experiences with somebody else to a level that's kind of like he takes it as serious as he takes anything he's reading, anything he's doing. I watch you do this. I watch people comment about, oh my God, do you remember how you got to the 1-2? Like, do you remember your testing? Do you remember any specific stories about your testing that sort of like it was exciting to hear because you excited somebody? But did any of that happen? What was it like to get here at 1-2?
Actually, I haven't thought about that in a long time, but it is a cute story. I was working assistant manager at GameStop retail for 2 years or so. We got a new manager. I was assistant manager. I clashed with her. She clashed with me. Just wasn't a good fit. And I had bills to pay, but I thought this is not working out. And so I quit. And a couple days later, my father was driving down in Fort Lauderdale, and he passed a psychic store. And God bless my dad. He believes, but you know, it's pretty. He's a man of science. He's a nurse. And he said to my stepmother, "Hey, let's pull over and stop at that psychic store for Keats." And which is weird because he never like thinks of me like that. And so they turned around, parked, and they walked in. And he was in one of the aisles, one of the book aisles, and a blonde woman who was reading a Natural Awakenings magazine, a very popular publication on metaphysics, while looking, and this is my father's story, but while looking at the magazine, saying to my father, not looking at him, still reading, she says, "Do you know how psychic your son is?" And my dad looks at her and goes, I think so. And she says to him, "Bring him here. I think I have an opportunity for him." Now, mind you, I had just lost, I was not lost, but I just walked out of my job days prior. And my dad came home and said, "Hey, this woman whose name was Janice, she used to be with us in the 1-2 family."
She did.
Yeah. And it's her fault that I've been here now for over half my life. And he brought me to the store. I met her. She proposed me being a hotline psychic. And I was doing this work for years already, not on the phone, although I did have clients, you know, across the country, but I never considered a hotline psychic like that. That's, to me, it's a joke. Like at the time, it's like, that's the Miss Cleo stuff. What the hell? What are you? I'm above that. And then she said, "Just give it a chance." And I mean, my first couple of readings, I absolutely just fell in love with the format. I fell in love with how many more people I was able to reach and how easy they were to reach me. I was able to, you know, still do my work over the phone, which of course I would be able to, but I remember initially thinking to myself, this is never going to work. Like, how is this going to work? I can't just snap in and out, you know, on a whim with the, you know, but it went really well. And I'm really grateful to Janice, and to you for, you know, letting me in.
Yeah, no, Janice, that does really conjure a lot of memories. We've had so many people through, and that's why in all the thick and thin, it's sort of like to still see that this format has worked for you and you've grown in it. It's kind of interesting because this is I'm looking at some of the questions Claude gave me as you were telling your story. You and I had a talk once about, I was going on this tangent about maybe we should get rid of the word psychic. And maybe we should, like, you know how people do that? They change the word just a little, and then it's sort of, because it scares people. And you had a really important point. Do you remember sort of like your feeling about changing the word psychic? And you were kind of opposed to it. Do you remember that argument?
I just love the word. I love the word. And I know that it makes people nervous. I do think the word is pretty synonymous with other words. I do think that the word psychic and the word prophet or the word mystic or whatever, I think they're pretty interchangeable. But I think that you don't change who you are to assuage other people's fears. You stand in who you are. You you learn more, you get more confident, you show people why this isn't something to be afraid of, rather than just, because I mean I think the line of work we're doing is to release people of those fears and to show them that, you know, there is magic here, and there's hope, and there's reason. Anytime I watch my hero John Edwards do his work, or Tyler Henry do his work, I look at the healing in the faces of these people. I mean, you can almost feel the relief and the peace that these people are receiving through this person. And I look at that and I go, you know, the Bible says, you know, you'll know them by their fruits, you'll know them by their works. And I watch these people have pain, years, decades of loss, just lifted from them in moments, and I think to myself, I'm like, what is scary about that? Why would someone be afraid of that? And so, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, and you had some idea that this would, that you also, you know, you, that was it, and you said that what we do, what you guys do particularly, is work. You put a lot of time and work into this, and you are a biohacker. You have a lot of equipment that you use. I mean, Keith takes this stuff seriously, you guys. It's almost like we got to bring him back on to even talk some of these things. But in other words, where he's measuring when his mind is in the right place, I'm speaking for you for a minute, when his mind is in the right place to see and feel. And if, in fact, if you have any questions you want to ask Keith, this is the time to do it in the chat room. But there's a seriousness and a belief that the mind does actually shift. And you mentioned Tyler Henry, 100%. Is that right? And you mentioned your Jonathan. John Edwards, Tyler Henry. If you know their work, you'll see some of it is like hard to deny. And I think Keith emulates a lot of that. So when you're engaged, how in the world does somebody keep their, like, you don't know when your phone's going to ring. How do you flip that switch? Is there a switch flipper inside of you, or what happens?
you learn. I mean, I do believe that this is all scientific. Like, I mean, that's part of why I have books and biohacking devices. I do think that people or psychics, mystics, whatever, it is a matter of getting your physical brain to sort of switch frequencies a little bit, switch channels. And it's a feeling. You learn to develop that muscle. I mean, as soon as the phone rings, I immediately start my process of disconnecting from, like, this, I don't want to say this world, because that sounds like I'm going crazy, but, you know, you do sort of like disconnect from, you know, whatever you're doing at the time, and you start to fade in your own background, because that information, when it comes through very subtly, very subconsciously, and you want to sort of just let go. And that's what meditation teaches. That's what mindfulness teaches, how to sort of move out of your own way so you can receive that information without the ego kind of checking the info, like a football player would check it. And so you just try to move him out of the way to let it come through. And I've got myself Pavlovianly trained that when that phone rings, you start your disconnection process, get ready to plug into this other place.
That's fascinating to me. Now, what happens when you're really tapped in, but you're talking to somebody that isn't really picking up the clues? Like, do you have an antidote about that? Like, I know we've shared times where you go, you know, I saw a blue jay, and I'm like, why does the blue jay come to mind? They don't know. They have no idea. I don't know. And then later in the talk, or even maybe a few days later, they happen to mention nonchalantly that they got to go play baseball. They're a member of the Blue Jays. And it's like, wait.
Sure.
How does
that? You know what? That's a risk. Yeah. It's a risk. It's a risky run. And I've had that happen enough where, and sometimes I will get some details that are being more, it'll feel like they're coming on more strongly, more pronounced. And I might actually bring the same thing up minutes later because that energy will reassert itself. And I will again repeat it, which I know that if I repeat the same thing two or three times in a phone call, that isn't getting validated. If I'm like a dog with a bone at that point,
yeah.
I know I've got it. I know I'm, and that's not, I'm not really, I never get mad or upset. I know that what's happening is intense and there's a lot of information coming through. So I'm not really upset, but the best feeling in the world is you're right. When they reach out, you know, days, hours or days later and suggest like, oh gosh, my nephew's name is Charlie or, you know, blah, right. blah, blah. And right. I'm like, okay, that's great. And all that I want to have happen at that point is that that person realized that the information surrounding that validation to keep that in mind. Because it's not so much about like, ooh, that was so spooky. Isn't he great? It's more a validation of the information that's coming through.
Right. Right.
So to maybe consider what we were talking about around that validation is you know, something to really breathe in.
How much of the work requires a counseling skill, and how much of it requires that intuitive psychic skill? Is there a percentage?
It's a good question.
It's a good
question. I think this is an opinion thing, and I think many of my colleagues at the 1-2 family might disagree with me. So this is just my think the psychic ability is more important than the counseling ability. Not by like a huge margin, but I would probably say like 60-40, 70-30, only because it is important to have the wisdom to give people along with the validation. But this is going to make me sound like my 18-year-old self. I love the validation so much. I love when someone says something to me, a psychic, and it's like, that's bananas. How could you know that? Like, to me, because here's what I think. The counseling is important, but what happens in those moments where you are talking with a gifted psychic and they do something like that, is it's not just fascinating. It opens something up in you, a belief factor, a factor of like, oh my gosh, what else is possible? What else is, you know, there's a dimensionality that we live in at all times here that is rarely broken through. And you don't need a psychic for this, by the way. People experience miracles all the time, you know, in their sleep or the lights flickering, or, you know, a number of things that are, you know, I know who's calling right before they call, which are smaller moments, but they're real. And any of those moments can help break you open more to those higher ideas, those higher worlds. And that's what a good psychic, in my opinion, should do for you. They should not just make you hooked on them as a person. Like, that's kind of whatever. They should reveal to you the possibilities of spirituality. And in that, your own evolution is quickened, and I think given a push. And so that's really kind of what I do. What I do to help ignite that spark in you more than, you know, have a 10-year relationship with me.
Right. So the spark that you're igniting in others is actually, you're saying, feeds the spark inside of you. So everybody grows from a good
a
good relationship. Now, what would the Pope think about your work here?
This Pope or the last Pope? Which Pope are we talking about?
Yeah, you don't even have to answer. That's good. Okay, that's good. See, he's like AI. Now, okay, so Joni is asking a question. You might want some time on this. Let's read it out loud, then you decide what you want to do. Hi, Joni. She says, good morning, Mark and Keith. I do have a question.
Hi, Joni.
If Keith is willing, I'd love a quick read on what he gets for me to move out of my own way and step into what I'm meant to do right here, right now. Are those questions tough, Keith? How do you work that? Tell us a little bit about your process, because it's okay to even not be able to have that switch turned on in the moment. But how do you work with something like that?
Honestly, just by having these conversations, you're opening up to these answers. You just getting in this space is going to help make you more resonant to receiving that type of guidance. So, I mean, I can take a look here, Joni. I might need a minute here to kind of get at the answer I want to give you here, but.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you want me to fill in some, I can read some questions from Claude. Oh, you're looking for the question? It's at the very last question under comments. You do all comments and scroll to the very bottom.
Okay. Wow, I've got a lot of people here. Okay, Joni, there you are. Okay, Joni. Okay, Joni. Well, whatever you're going through, this is the next level change. Like what this is, if you have any nervousness around what you're about to go through, it's understandable, but the fear is not necessary here. This feels like a change on perspectives. This could be a relocation, but I just see, I see a big shift here. And in a really good way. I do think that this could be a geographical switch and not just like a mental switch. But it might be multiple adjustments going on here. It might be multiple evolutions here, because this is basically the symbols I get for like big levels of change, but really, really beautiful change. So I don't know if there might be an Ashley or an A name in your life too that's involved here, but yeah, it looks like a big growth spurt.
I love it. Oh, Joni, I have goosebumps for you, girl. I love that. That's nice, Keith. I so love hearing. I love readings. I love listening to them. There's a couple more comments. Kat is 100% in agreement with what you said about your psychic experiences. You know, you and Kat are set. It's such a sweet soul connection. And Ali Shea says she agreed. She says, I feel okay. I'm not fooling myself thinking I am connected to source. Ali Shea is such a real presence in the room. So Joni, thank you for posting a question. Any others? Keith, Claude has a question. When we go to, I'll do one serious one, then I got to do a funny one that he had, because I had him do some funny ones that were sort of cute. But what advice would you give young Keith if he was here?
Wow. Todd's good at this. This is good.
He is good.
I would say when you are hesitant, or when you feel like stopping, don't. When you're feeling hesitant, push through. Because those moments of fear, those moments of real hesitation and doubt, those tend to be the moments right before the breakthrough. And in hindsight, I can absolutely validate that there's almost an intuitive quality to fear sometimes, where their ego knows that the next step is going to greatly diminish itself, the ego, and is trying to convince you not to do the thing. Push through, do the thing, and I promise you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be in a better position for it.
Nice. That's such sweet advice. It'll be, you know, can you imagine in 20 years being asked the question to talk to this Keith? And we'll just have to keep the game going. So Claude has a funny one. It's not, maybe not funny, but when I asked him to lighter questions, he said, if you could read the mind of any historical figure, who would it be and why?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question.
Isn't it?
Gosh, like, okay, so let's not say Jesus, just because I feel like that's maybe one of the more obvious answers. You know, I'd actually love to get in the head of Isaac Newton, just because... when he passed, I don't know, people came into his home, and in his attic specifically, they found that like 30-40% of his books were based on metaphysics. They were based on spirituality. They were based on, you know, the concepts we're talking about here. And I would love to talk to him and be like, you know, you're a man that, you know, formatted, you know, hundreds of years of science, and yet your passion, at least one of your passions, was this very subject. You know, what is it about this area that that made you spend so much of your genius on these concepts? I feel like there's a part of his knowledge base we never really got to acknowledge, because he did the Newtonian science thing, and then his other interests. I don't know. It always just interested me what maybe was going on in his head around these things.
I so relate, except I would like to talk to him for a very different reason. I would like to talk to him so I could have a really good night's sleep. Meaning I would probably fall asleep at his first start of an answer. I'd be like, oh God, I can't even keep my eyes open listening to you. Okay, no, that's great. Okay, the difference in, intellectual ability here. But also, what? Okay, so this is another Claude one, but it's kind of cute. Was there a funny prediction that you made that came true? Like, is there a funniest prediction that you've ever made?
Oh my goodness. I definitely have predicted things that have come true. Usually those things are, on a goofy, goofy level, this is a strange thing, but this takes me back to, ninth grade. When I was, 10th grade, I was at my school in Orlando, the First Academy. And I was experiencing a very significant case of deja vu. And I think most of us have experienced that. But this version of deja vu, I actually could recall the deja vu, and I could tell you the next 10 seconds, the next 15 seconds of things in a sequence. I knew who was walking through the door at school in a specific, I knew the names of, I knew the next four or five people as they walked through, that they would be, person A, B, C, and D. And I actually had a student friend of mine who was witnessing me as I'm just looking at the desk, almost like a That's So Raven moment, where I'm just recollecting, I dreamt this before. And then, that's not a super common experience for me. Usually my predictions come in the form of one-on-one readings. Personally, for my own life, I'm rarely given knowledge ahead of time that my life is going to experience, an up or a down. So they usually keep that from me for me. But with one-on-one situations, that happens, as many times as people call me.
No, I love that. I can just see you doing it, and it's hysterical. The thought of you naming names before they walk through. It's such a treat, and I know that people probably never get tired of hearing it. We're going to wrap up, but I know I hate to end this because we could go for another couple hours. I have a million questions for you. Just real quickly, though, you mentioned the Bible several times. You mentioned Jesus is an important figure. Would you consider yourself some kind of religious nut?
Sometimes, sure.
I love how you're not offended by that question. That's great. No. And you know my point. Where does religion fit into your life?
Religion is important. It's religion is ritual. Ritual is important. And I encourage people that if they're not ready or they're not drawn to metaphysical spirituality, just choose a religion. Choose a nice religion, a loving religion, and let that give you the structure, because you can find God. You can find, you can find that higher power that way. So I have no problem with religion. My problem with religion is when religion starts telling other people that, they're damned and, they're screwed if they don't adhere to their religion. So I'm great with religion. There's a line of, when religion gets up in my face, it's wait a minute. that's not so much that part, but I love religion. I used to hate religion. Then I recognize that it's actually, if it wasn't for being religious, I don't know if today I'd be spiritual. So, think religion is great.
Awesome. Okay. I'm doing a quick refresh in the room. You guys, Keith, it was a delight having you. You'll come back, right? We can do this.
I would love that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really fun to have you and talk. And you guys, Keith, you go to Want to Listen a lot, right? You're on Want to Listen a lot?
Yeah, usually there 2 to 9 EST with a little break for lunch in there. I'm also available by appointments. I offer TBS's and I'm available for phone chat. And if you're brave enough, I'm also available for video chat at most of those times.
Yeah. It's Halloween's coming. That could work. Now here's the thing. Lori Love said she'd like to talk. And Lori's the show After Cats, Lori, the love show. But Lori, I've been spelling your name Laris, and the sweet, person, Tom, keeps writing me and telling me, fix Lori's spelling. He's very kind about it. So I did. Sorry about that. But she said Edgar Casey for her. Jim said Nikola Tesla, he would like to talk to as a previous one. And
those are better answers than mine. Darn it.
They had time to think. And, you know, Ali Shea says, you probably need your own show. We'll go into that later. I'll work on him, Ali Shea. Hey, Keith, thank you so much. You're so pleasant to talk to. And what we're going to do is have you back. We will. And you guys, please stay tuned for Psychic Cat, where you can also put questions in the room and get answers. These people are lovely. This is their life. This is their heart. They're here at One Two Listen because that's who they are. They don't have to stay here, right? So thank you all for supporting them. Please go to One2Listen and check them out. .com, One2Listen.com. Also, there's some new classes showing up at One2Academy.com. I am sorry about the sound issues today. I knew they would happen, though. Keith was coming. How else could they not? It was going to happen. I was like, my mixer isn't going to work. I came this morning. My mixer did not turn on. I threw it on the floor. John goes, what happened? I said, my mixer is broke. For what? So anyway, we got you anyway, Keith. All your hanky-panky stuff of not getting here, you got here. So thank you for coming. You guys have a beautiful week, Keith. Thanks again. Please stay tuned for Psychic Cat, the Intuition Hour with Kathleen Nicholson. Thank you, Jay, for producing us. You guys have a gorgeous week. Next week, we'll talk the day before the eclipse. Have a great show. Bye-bye now.